is my responsibility to keep Terminus running.
Now, what about Terminus?
We need your help. You know about Terminus.
This is Terminus, where all the Mazzers come to die. We're on a leper ship. We're all going to die!
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, whoa, hang on. This is not a leper colony. It's a podcast. Let's try this again. Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of the Terminus Podcast. Coming to you from the old city of Terminus itself, Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Nicole Mazza, and I'll be your host for this podcast. Enjoy the ride! So yeah, surprise! It's another mini-episode! And why? Well, the short version is life stuff. Yeah, between my own health just getting back to normal and my wife's recovery from her big surgery recently being a lot to handle for us both, one other huge thing was that the recent Hurricane Irma really screwed things up for us. Such as somewhat smaller things like, I don't know, killing all the food in the fridge due to being out of power for a day or so. Thankfully that was reimbursed by the insurance, to be fair. Anyway, to much bigger things like, say, totaling my car. A beloved Honda Civic named Zoe that I've had since 2001. Yeah, it was flooded inside through the moonroof with a few inches or so of standing water on the floorboards and water on the dash. So, yeah, it was totally toast.
Water is patient, Adelaide. Water just waits. It wears down the cliff tops, the mountains, the whole of the world. Water always wins. Come on.
Yeah, I was so sad, I legit cried.
Goodbye, Zoe.
So yeah, because of that, we had to scramble to buy a new car, a 2017 Honda Fit named Luca, for whatever it's worth. Anyway, once we dealt with all the paperwork, that is, from insurance, dealing with the car title, which was so old, it was also in my dad's name. Yeah, that was all somewhat stressful. Oh, and speaking of car issues, Hurricane Irma also caused a tree to smash the back window of my wife's car, Heinrich, which caused extensive body damage and water damage and very nearly totaled it, too. Thankfully, we were able to negotiate it just being fixed by a body shop with the insurance company instead, so we didn't have to buy two new cars. And we just got Heinrich back from the body shop this week, after being in the shop about a month. Of course, I want to take a quick second to acknowledge our privilege and all of that, and that many other people came out of things with the hurricane much, much worse off than us. But even so, it honestly was still really rough to deal with all of the stress seeming to just pile on at once. So yeah, all that to say, that means me and my wife have been stuck in survival mode all this time, which hasn't left much extra brain space or spoons for doing a new episode as much as I've wanted to. But you know what? I don't want to wallow in stress and sadness anymore. Instead, I want some happy. And I'm sure there are those of you out there that want some happy in your day as well. And so it's funny, considering I actually keep a file of happy fandom time items, and it's been piling up a bit from my episodes being so backlogged. I had recently made a joke to my wife about doing an episode of just happy fandom time items, but you know, after thinking about it, I actually thought that was a good idea, and really, what better time for it? So yeah, this mini episode is going to be a rundown of all the Doctor Who related things that have been bringing me joy in recent months. And yes, it'll be random here and there, but so what? It's all for fun. Oh, and before that, also speaking of fun, a little production note. As I'm recording this, Halloween is almost upon us, and I was thinking about reposting my Doctor Who Halloween recommendations from last year in some form, or maybe even coming up with some new recommendations. Well, unfortunately, I don't really have time for that, so I'm just going to pop the audio from last year's related episode onto this one as a audio flashback. Probably just after the super mega happy fandom time stuff, all the way at the end of the podcast. So I hope you enjoy that as well. Anyway, it's just about time for all the squeeing. But first, here's a quick break.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And we're going to watch every episode of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Every episode?
Every single one.
In order?
From an unearthly child to, you know, the future. And we're going to do it in a podcast that we call...
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
WatchYourRassilon.com. And we're also a part of the ESO Network. So check us out or whatever.
Please.
Stay Rassil Awesome.
Stop trying to make Rassil Awesome a thing.
Nope.
This is Andrew Cartmell, and my master plan is to get you to listen to the Terminus Doctor Who podcast.
It's happy fandom time.
State your name, rank, and intention.
The Doctor. Doctor. Fun.
Enjoy yourselves. Happiness will prevail.
All right, it's time! As I said, here there will be some new things, some older things, lots of random bits, but hey, this is a judgment-free zone. All squee is relevant squee. So anyway, first off, as for more specific stuff to Doctor Who as a show, it's been announced that the upcoming Doctor Who Christmas special, to be called Twice Upon a Time, will be played in cinemas through Fathom Events on December 27th, at least in the US. I was having trouble finding information about if it will be playing in cinemas elsewhere, by the way, at least as of recording this. Anyway, longtime listeners will know that I absolutely love any opportunity to see Doctor Who on the big screen, packed in a room full of other fans, just squeeing along with everyone around me. So far, I've seen things like Deep Breath, Day of the Doctor, Power of the Daleks, even Return of the Cybermen, Age of Steel, two episodes that I mostly hate due to the Doctor and Rose being total douches to Mickey, by the way. Sorry, this is happy fandom time, not ranty fandom time. Anyway, yeah, I've seen several Doctor Who episodes at the cinema, some I'm probably blanking on right now. Anyway, I absolutely cannot wait to see another one, even if I'm probably going to be an absolute emotional wreck over Capaldi leaving. But here's hoping it'll be the first regeneration story of the new series that isn't completely terrible. Like the unspeakable mess that was End of Time, by the way, or at least the overall pretty weak stories of ones like Time of the Doctor or Parting of the Ways. But then we've been spoiled with epically awesome stories like the War Games or even the Caves of Adrazani as much better regeneration stories from Doctors past, so it's tough to compete. Seriously, if you've never seen either of those stories, you really need to check them out. They are amazing! Especially War Games, which is my favorite regeneration story.
The time has come for you to change your appearance, Doctor, and begin your exile.
Stop! You're making me giddy!
Anyway, overall, I guess I just really want them to give Capaldi the farewell that he deserves, as to me, he's one of the best Doctors ever in the show, and definitely my favorite of the new series. Now to figure out where I'm going to be at Christmas this year and get me some tickets. But wherever I end up, I hope to see some of you guys there. Anyway, let's see, what else? Oh yes, speaking of the ever-lovely Peter Capaldi, he recently made an appearance at New York's Comic-Con, this time on his own. Now, I wasn't there, of course, sadly enough, but there's a few articles online about what he talked about, which I'll try to link to one or two of them in my show notes. And, just before recording this, I noticed that his whole panel is up on YouTube, which I totally need to watch, with tissues, of course. I'll be sure to link to that as well. Anyway, yeah, from what I understand from the articles I read, at that con, PCAP was mostly just sort of assuring everyone that things were going to be all right with him leaving, and that Jody taking over was just going to be awesome. And you know, that just makes me so happy. Sad too, yes, but mostly happy. Especially seeing as both Capaldi and the current production team so far don't seem to be trying to throw Jodie's Doctor and the upcoming Chibnall era preemptively under the bus, like some production teams did in recent years. I'm looking at you, RTD, with things like your "I'm gonna die and another man is going to go sauntering off" BS.
Even if I change, it feels like dying. Everything I am dies. Some new man goes sauntering away, and I'm dead.
Ugh. Deep breaths. It's happy fandom time. Happy fandom time. Oh, also related to Capaldi, some of the upcoming Series 10 DVD extras are now out in the world, at least as far as deleted scenes are concerned. Yes, you can now find them over on YouTube for anyone interested, so I'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes. I mean, honestly, anything with more Bill and 12 and Missy is super awesome in my books. Not so much Nardole, but whatever. Oh, and they've released more information about the DVD and Blu-ray, which should be coming out internationally around mid-November, I believe. Anyway, wow, the cover art is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, in particular, the picture with the white background, where printed over Capaldi's chest is a galaxy-like image of Bill and him in the TARDIS. Yeah, I'm describing that rather pitifully, so I'll try to remember to put a link to it in the show notes. Either way, I totally want a print of that for my wall. It is so gorgeous! Anyway, the DVD sounds like it's going to be really awesome, with the pre-order information touting that there will be, quote, over 6 hours of bonus content, including the deleted scenes I already mentioned, audio commentaries, little extras about each episode called An Inside Look, which I assume will be a lot like the now-defunct Doctor Who Confidential series. Let's see, a documentary about Pearl herself becoming a companion, and more.
Oh, a mission to...
And yes, I'm an old fogey who still buys the physical media. Hell, I haven't even switched over to Blu-ray from regular DVDs yet. So anyway, I am very happy that we're still getting regular DVDs for the new Doctor Who seasons. Let's see, what else? Oh, this is just sort of Doctor Who tat related, but Humble Bundle, who always have really awesome bundles of random stuff for charity, had a little bundle about 2 months ago of Doctor Who role-playing books in PDF format. Sadly, the sale is long past, but I still wanted to squee over it because I was able to get those! Anyway, included were source books for almost every Doctor, new and old, well, with the exception of the 12th Doctor, which are in and of themselves a great source of information about the Doctors and their stories, and were really worth it just on their own for me. Plus, there was also a bunch of other RPG books, like the role-playing game guide, the unit source book, other expansion books. So yeah, it was all very happy-making. I mean, I still need to dig into reading them all, but the bits I've seen so far look really informative, which is totally catnip for a research junkie like myself. Plus, it was role-playing Doctor Who that played a big part in making me a big Whovian in the first place, way back in 1986 with my friend who turned me onto the show back then. So the idea of any RPG with Doctor Who just, I don't know, it has a sentimental side for me. And yeah, I mean, to be honest, I haven't done any Doctor Who role-playing since way back then, and hardly any role-playing in general in recent years, and I don't really have anyone to play the Doctor Who game with now, but, you know, I just love reading the books. Let's see. Oh yeah, oh my god, how could I forget? Sir Derek Jacobi is returning as the Master, in particular, the so-called War Master, in an upcoming Big Finish audio series. And yeah, I can't even begin to explain how excited that makes me. I mean, I've been a big fan of Jacobi in a lot of things over the years. I mean, he's a national treasure in Britain, for goodness sake. And yes, of course, on the Doctor Who-related front, I really, really loved his much-too-short turn as Professor Yana, and then the no-longer-fobwatch Master in Utopia. And of course, I also really loved his admittedly slashy turn as the Android Master way back in the Flash-animated 2003 Doctor Who story, Scream of the Shulka. Oh, is that last one considered a character spoiler? Oops. Anyway, because of all that love for his work, I've always just wanted much more of him as the Master somehow. Just wishing that we'd gotten more of him in Doctor Who, perhaps after he'd opened the Fob Watch and got his memories back, or before that, or whatever. Especially as his immediate replacement, the Sim Master, honestly just mostly left me a bit cold in comparison on the whole. Sorry, Sim fans. Anyway, now my wish has finally come true, and even better, now we're getting stories of the Jacoby Master that are about his adventures during the Time War! Yes! So anyway, the upcoming Big Finish stories with Jacoby are going to be called Doctor Who, the War Master, and per the Big Finish website, it, quote, follows the exploits of the Doctor's archenemy during the course of the devastating Time War, featuring four stories from the acclaimed Doctor Who writers Nicholas Briggs, also script editor of the series, James Goss, and Guy Adams, as well as new writing talent from Janine H. Jones. I almost said Janie Jones. Having a bit of a Clash moment there. Anyway, so yeah, I really can't wait. It sounds like it could be pretty amazing, especially as a nice accompaniment to things like the War Doctor audios, which I still need to check out myself, to be honest, and of course other Time War stuff. Now from my notes, it's set to be released in December of this year, but for anyone eager like myself, it is already available for pre-order from the Big Finish website. So yeah, Big Finish, take my money, please! Speaking of character and actor returns, it was announced this past July that Georgia Tennant, who of course played the Doctor's daughter Jenny back in 2008, then still as Georgia Moffat. Anyway, Georgia is returning to finally bring back Jenny to Doctor Who, this time in an audio series also for Big Finish. Now honestly, I couldn't seem to find any concrete information about the series on the Big Finish website, but according to some articles online, and in particular a Radio Times article which was retweeted by Georgia herself, which I'll link to, the audio stories were supposedly recorded during this past summer and are supposed to be out late this year, but I'm just not very sure about that. I mean, I would think there would at least be a release date on the Big Finish website for it by now, but again, I just couldn't seem to find it. So, who knows? Anyway, the information that we do have is that Jenny will supposedly have a male traveling companion who would be played by Sean Biggerstaff, who was also in the Harry Potter movies as Oliver Wood, and that one of the adventures will be written by Christian Brasington, who, if you're basically a Tennant family stan like me, you know is basically best friends with both Georgia and David Tennant, and has worked with the two of them on quite a few projects. Hell, David Tennant even officiated Brasington's wedding to his other bestie, Jenny Fava. Anyway, Brasington is currently on the show Poldark playing Osborne Whitworth, if you're unfamiliar with him. Anyway, I think it's nice to see Georgia doing some more acting work again, especially as these days she's mostly working on the production end of things, but I guess with her family of both her husband, 10th Doctor David Tennant, and her dad, 5th Doctor Peter Davison, the pull back to Doctor Who is probably pretty inevitable. And hopefully, there'll be more info about the audio soon, as I, for one, am super happy to finally see Jenny back in some adventures. Speaking of David Tennant, back in July, the Montreal Comic Con had David Tennant, Freema Agyeman, and Alex Kingston as guests, and even had a panel with all three of them together, which I'll definitely link to the video I found of it on YouTube, as it just made me super happy to watch. Now, admittedly, it isn't the best quality video, and yeah, the questions themselves weren't really the best, but it's something, especially for those of us who couldn't make it and just kind of want to see those three together on stage. God, I would have loved to be there, as despite all the era's issues, I'm still totally trash for the 10th Doctor and Martha as a team, and add River Song into the mix, and yeah, that just makes me super happy. I mean, real talk, David Tennant is probably my favorite actor, despite my very complicated feelings about the Doctor that he portrayed. And so I've been super excited about the fact that he's been dipping his toe into the convention circuit these last few years, even if I wish he'd do a fan-run con for once, and not just these horrid industry cons that suck people's money dry. But anyway, the thing is, many of the times David's been at cons, they seem to almost always pair him up with Billy Piper as a guest, who, I'm sorry, I pretty much have zero interest in paying to see. I'm just really not a fan, I'm sorry. Plus, honestly, the two of them together tends to bring out the worst of the Bat-shippers, rabid Ten and Rose fans, who ask them loads of inappropriate questions, like asking them to kiss for everyone, or say they love each other, or whatever. No thanks. Yeah, just totally not my thing. But David with other Doctor Who actors, well, sign me up. I mean, he's done a few with Catherine Tate, which is also awesome, of course, but with Freema and Alex, two of my big Doctor Who favorites. Yeah, I hope he does that again sometime. Especially with Freema, and especially somewhere I can afford to go and see them together live. I mean, I generally only pay for just him in a fan picture, if I had the money, of course. But if Freema was also there, you bet I'd get a pic with both of them in it. Oh, please, 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 universe, make it so! And speaking of Freema, my beloved podcast Woke Doctor Who, that I know I've recommended before from when they did a podcast about Mickey, because they are so awesome. Anyway, Woke Doctor Who did an episode about Martha this summer, and it too was awesome. They encapsulated so many of my feels about my favorite companion and her horrible treatment on the show, and by fandom. Definitely check out that episode when you get the chance, as Eugenia and Toya lay down an excellent rebuttal to all the fandom hate that Martha gets. I'll definitely put a link to that episode in my show notes. Also speaking of Martha, I recently discovered an amazing fanfiction piece that pairs Martha with the 12th Doctor. So yeah, my favorite new series Doctor with my all-time favorite companion. Yeah, I never knew how much I wanted that until I read it. Anyway, it's mostly set post-Husbands of River Song and before Bill, with the Doctor mourning the loss of River and Martha also mourning her own losses, so they re-team up together and travel together to help each other's loneliness. Now, in this story, Martha's changed a lot since her original travels with the Doctor, kind of hardened and her edges sharpened a bit, so I thought it was really interesting to see a possibility of what her dynamic as that type of person could be with the 12th Doctor. Now, I will warn you, there are definitely some sexy times near the end, and so it's rated as mature, so if that's not your thing, you might not want to check it out, but I think that whole situation definitely doesn't detract from the story in any way, in my opinion. And in fact, just feels very organic between the characters in those moments. So, definitely not porn without plot, as they say. Not that there's anything wrong with that sort of story either, don't get me wrong. But still, I just feel that's not the case here. Anyway, the story is called Drift, and it's by a writer called Maribor Petrichor on the archive of her own fan creation website. I'll definitely be sure to link to it in the show notes, as I would definitely recommend it, especially if you're like me and really love the idea of Martha traveling with doctors that aren't the 10th Doctor. You know, ones that might actually respect her or something. Crazy, I know. Speaking of great fan works, I also really love the fan-made animated short recently making the rounds called New Doctor, about the 13th Doctor now being a woman, annoyed at still not being Ginger, and about her female clothes not having pockets, which, real talk, is many, many women's lament, as it sucks! Oh, and her letter from Missy laughing at her about now being female and telling her to drink cranberry juice. And oh god, the Dalek not wanting to accept that she's the Doctor because she's a woman, much like certain other parts of fandom. Oh, and finally, the Doctor calling up Bill to talk about how hard it is to be a woman, and Bill just says something in response like, "You're still white, aren't you?" Oh my god, that whole video was so classic. I was in tears from laughing. I will definitely put a link to it in the show notes. It's only about 2 minutes long, so it'll take no time to watch. And speaking of other fetish things, at my local Doctor Who convention, Wholanta, they've announced that both Louise Jameson and Rachel Talalay will be there next year. Now, Louise was supposed to be there before, which was at the last one, I believe, but she had to cancel, and God, that broke my heart. So I'm super excited to have another chance to meet her. Louise played Leela, one of the Fourth Doctor's companions, by the way, and longtime listeners may remember that Leela was actually my very first companion. So aside from the fact that I just think that Leela was an awesome companion anyway, being that she was my first, yeah, I have a lot of sentimentality around her. So yeah, I can't wait to see her there. And as for Rachel Talalay, the director has given us some of the most awesome Doctor Who stories in recent years. Well, in my opinion, at least. I am super excited to meet her, too. I actually even have a cosplay that I'm planning that's related specifically to her being there. So, Rachel has been a director in the business for a long time and has directed much more than Doctor Who. But one thing that I absolutely love that she directed way back in 1995 was the movie version of the comic Tank Girl. So, I kind of thought it would be fun to do a cosplay that was based on that, but also tied to Doctor Who. So, I'm sort of making a unit version of Tank Girl, where, I don't know, the military insignia and such is unit-based, instead of, like, I don't know, American Army-based. And yeah, aside from when I cosplay a Kang from the Seventh Doctor era, I have to admit I tend to do slightly off-kiltered versions of Doctor Who costumes, such as when I was a Gallifreyan Roller Girl years ago and even had a uniform for my fictional team, the Roller Girls of Razzalon, for example. I even used to have a cosplay called Off-Duty Punk Rock Unit Soldier because I'm weird, apparently. So I'll probably be cannibalizing a lot of that costume for this new cosplay. So, anyway, yeah, I think the unit Tank Girl costume is just right up my alley. And I already have started building it and have bits and pieces of it so far, like, for example, the army helmet that I need to decorate. Like, instead of Charlie Don't Surf being painted on it, I think I might do Cybermen Don't Surf or something. And yes, before you come at me, I know Charlie Don't Surf is a reference to Apocalypse Now, and the Charlie is for the call sign of C, representing the communist Viet Cong in that film, but still, it's all for fun. So anyway, yeah, I just can't wait to have it all together. And finally, before getting into some things I've loved from people who are or used to be involved in Doctor Who, but not necessarily show-specific stuff, I wanted to mention David Tennant's recent description of Doctor Who to his DuckTales co-star Ben Schwartz. You've probably already heard it or read it as it made the rounds soon after San Diego's Comic-Con, as it was made during the DuckTales press junket from around that time. But basically, Ben Schwartz seemed to be curious about Doctor Who, saying he'd never really heard of it until meeting David and, you know, all the fans being so excited about it. So he asked David to, quote, explain Doctor Who in one sentence. And the sentence that David replied with was just so perfect, especially in that he referred to the Doctor as female, showing his solidarity with the casting of Jodie Whittaker as the 13th Doctor. It was short and sweet, but I really loved it. Anyway, here it is.
Yeah, just get, in one sentence, tell me what Doctor Who is. Just as I've never one heard sentence. Of it, I don't know. I don't know if
one sentence sum it all up.
Gaelic, you said
it's
to me.
It's about a girl in a box who travels around the universe.
Anyway, onto some squee about Doctor Who people doing non-Doctor Who things, because that counts too. First off, there's been an announcement that Doctor Who alums Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss may be teaming up to create a Dracula series. Now, there's not much information about it as of yet from what I found, but apparently it's set to be feature-length style episodes, much like they did with Sherlock, and that they'll be produced by Sue Virtue, an awesome producer, and Moffat's wife. From what I've heard, the two haven't even started writing for the series yet, and we probably won't see anything on our screens till either 2018 or 2019 or whatever, but I still personally find the news very exciting. I mean, as many longtime listeners are aware, I am a huge Stephen Moffat stan, which honestly feels very subversive in our fandom nowadays, but whatever. Anyway, I really love Moffat's work, and I'm really looking forward to seeing his future writing, especially now that I won't be seeing his writing for Doctor Who anymore. Now with Mark Gatiss, he's a little trickier for me. I find his writing a lot more hit or miss and generally much prefer his writing for properties outside of Doctor Who. And I've also seen some really great documentaries he's done about the genre of horror, and he's really knowledgeable about the genre, and I think that'd bring a great perspective to the show. But we'll see. I do hope that it all actually does come to fruition and ends up on our screens, though, as I think that it has the potential to be really, really awesome. Let's see. I don't know if this is exciting to anyone else out there. Well, aside from Mike Solko from the Time Scoop podcast, who gave me a heads up about it. Anyway, Andrew Cartmell's 2008 book, Miss Freedom, for the Prisoner series, was just reprinted and re-released at the end of September. Now, not only am I a huge fan of Andrew Cartmell, as he's one of my biggest Doctor Who-related heroes, and I can say with great happiness, also a friend, but I'm also a huge fan of the show The Prisoner, the one from the 60s with Patrick McGoohan, mind you, not that weird remake that we won't talk about. Anyway, yeah, I even considered it my favorite show for many, many, many years. So to have a book written by one of my favorite writers about one of my favorite shows? Yeah, I'm just super excited. Anyway, hoping as my finances start to get back to normal, I can actually grab a copy, and I hope many of you guys will as well, as it's from a small publisher and I always like to support them. Anyway, I'll be sure to add a link to the show notes as to where you can get your copy. One other cool thing that made me really happy, but potentially has a limited audience outside of myself, was this summer's four-part expose series on the website Doctor Who about promoted fangirl extraordinaire Crystal Dee, a woman most known these days as one of the presenters for YouTube's Doctor Who after show, The Fan Show. Now, I've been following Crystal's rise to fandom fame since her old videos with Five Who fans and the like, and it's been great watching such a passionate fan getting more and more acknowledged by those in Doctor Who itself, whether it be writers, producers, actors, etc. Honestly, I also always can't help but get caught up in Crystal's energy and often find myself watching her with a big dopey grin on my face. Part of that is that I have a bit of a crush on her, I confess, but a lot more of it's just getting swept up in her fanish joy about the show and meeting the people that work on it. She's just great to live vicariously through, in my opinion, and I thought it was great learning more about her career and her background and what it's like making the fan show, etc. So yeah, definitely worth checking the articles out, in my opinion, especially for some behind-the-scenes information about things like the fan show. I'll be sure to link to at least the first installment in my show notes, of course, as you can easily find the other three segments linked at the end of that installment on the Doctor Who website. And finally, I've also gotten a lot of joy in recent months watching actors associated with Doctor Who doing other TV shows or movies. First off, David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck in the new DuckTales.
I'm back! Uncharted territory!
Now, to be honest, I'm pretty sure I never watched the original show. It was on when I was in high school, and though I was still watching a few cartoons at the time, I think that was mostly Animaniacs and Tiny Toons from what I recall. Anyway, so I went into the show cold with no foreknowledge of the characters and kind of worried I'd have no interest in it, but have actually really, really enjoyed it, especially when I want something light and a little less hard-hitting to watch on my more stressed-out days. So far, it's about 6 or 7 episodes into the season here in the US. Not sure if it's playing internationally yet, but anyway, they're just short half-hour episodes, so they're really easy to catch up on. And I would definitely recommend them.
I appreciate the enthusiasm, but there's no time.
And also on the David Tennant front, again, he's my favorite actor. Anyway, he's been filming two things that have me very excited. First off, and I'm not sure if this is a character spoiler since it was kind of all over the media and even in Entertainment Weekly, but it looks like David will be involved in some way in Jessica Jones season 2.
It's all right. I'm here, Jessica. I'll always be here.
Now, he didn't seem to do much filming from what we could see, so my guess from that and some of the set pictures he's in, it's probably some sort of flashback or ghost haunting Jessica, but who knows? I really can't wait to find out, though, especially as Jessica Jones was my favorite series from Marvel Netflix, and I just thought that Kilgrave was an amazing villain. Now, if you haven't seen Jessica Jones, well, I guess I sort of spoiled it a bit, but if that doesn't bother you, definitely check it out. A million trigger warnings for it, though, especially for things like abuse language and the topic of rape. Yeah, it can be a little rough. Anyway, on a much lighter note, David Tennant has also been recently filming the miniseries Good Omens, based on the comedic book by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. Now, David is going to be playing the demon Crowley alongside the also super awesome Michael Sheen as the angel Aziraphil, both of whom are trying to sabotage the coming of the end times because of the birth of the son of Satan, or something. I've actually not read the book, to be honest. Yes, I know, take away my geek card. But anyway, from what I've seen, it sounds like it could be really awesome. And if you follow Neil Gaiman on Twitter, you'll see him posting pics from filming here and there. Many, many pretty pictures, if that floats your boat. Seriously, I was watching some costume dramas recently and thought, David Tennant needs to do more costume dramas. And behold, pictures of him on the set dressed as a Victorian gentleman popped up looking super hot. Now, he's also in modern dress in other pictures and probably much of the show, but still, it's something! Anyway, it's set to be released on Amazon Prime Video sometime next year, so I can't wait as it has me very, very intrigued. As for other Doctor Who peeps and things, I was also very happy to discover Sylvester McCoy, who of course played my Doctor, Seven, has a small role in Season 2 of the Netflix series Sense8. I still need to actually finish watching the season, by the way, as I'm dragging on it a little bit, as I personally like it less than season one, but what little bits I've seen with him have brought me great joy. I just love Sylvester so much. Also, speaking of classic doctors, just the other day, I watched the 1971 biopic Nicholas and Alexandra about the last days of the Romanovs. Mostly because I'd heard about it on a Doctor Who Facebook group I'm on, as the super sexy Michael Jaston plays Tsar Nicholas. Jaston is probably most known to Doctor Who fans as playing the Valyard in the Trial of a Time Lord story arc of the Sixth Doctor era. And even better, Tom Baker, the Fourth Doctor himself, played Rasputin.
Matushka, I see things. I have power. I cure the sick. I am a vessel of the Lord.
Anyway, both of these performances were well before either of them were on Doctor Who, but I always still get a kick of seeing Doctor Who actors on screen together in non-Doctor Who roles. Anyway, I thought the movie was great. A little on the slow side and rather long, but the costumes and sets were very lush, and the performances were all very good. And I'd almost forgotten how much I love Jason's voice.
I still want you so much. Nothing can change that, Sonny. I do love you.
Wow. On a more modern note, I've been watching more things with Jodie Whittaker in them too. As I think I mentioned in my last episode, I had wanted to rewatch the 2011 TV movie of the Sarah Waters book, The Night Watch, which is one of Waters' excellent queer historical stories. This one was set in World War II and afterward in London, and it follows the interconnected lives of several lesbians, a straight woman who's played by Jodie, and her closeted gay brother. Anyway, I'd seen it a few times before, of course, as I'm a huge Sarah Waters fan, but not in quite a few years, and this time around, I wanted to rewatch it with a particular focus on Jodie's performance. She was as awesome as ever, of course, and I definitely recommend the film. If you can get a hold of it, that is. Which is probably sadly only through nefarious means these days, as I don't think it ever got a proper DVD release. Anyway, yes, definitely check it out if you can. Jodie's really good in it. Also, even more recent in her career, I watched the four-part miniseries that Jodie was in back in August called Trust Me. In it, Jodie plays a nurse that loses her job for being a whistleblower and then steals the identity of her friend that's a doctor trying to start a new life in another city under that assumed identity. As you can imagine, it's all pretty intense. Mostly with her faking she's a doctor and worrying when and how people will find out the truth. I mean, I know my wife found the subject matter a bit too scary to even give it a go, especially with the idea of fake identities and medical care with all the medical issues in her household this year, but I stuck with it, and despite it being a very challenging topic, I really loved Jodie's performance in it. For me, I think the plot fell down in a few places and was a bit far-fetched in others, but overall I really enjoyed the series and would recommend checking it out, if only to hear Jodie referred to as Doctor. And for Scottish actor Eamon Elliott, her co-star, who is just awesome in everything, in my opinion. God, I need him to be in Doctor Who sometime. Oh, and fun fact, Jodie actually found out she was going to be the 13th Doctor while filming Trust Me. So there she was playing someone pretending to be a doctor while learning she was going to be the Doctor in Doctor Who. How funny! It's kind of like when David Tennant found out he was going to be the Doctor while filming the Quatermass Experiment remake, and he was playing Dr. Gordon Briscoe, and they changed the line from something like, "Hello, Gordon," to "Hello, Doctor."
It's good to have you back, Doctor.
Quatermass.
It was just so perfect. Anyway, so yeah, that's basically everything on my happy fandom time things I wanted to catch up on and share my absolute glee for. Whew! I do really hope you guys got some pleasure from this exercise as well, though. Anyway, as I always say, please feel free to leave comments or feedback at either my Libsyn blog, my email address, the Facebook pages, Twitter, etc. Links to all those in the show notes, of course. And thank you again to everyone who has listened today. As I've said before, I'm still getting the ship turned around so I can resume working on my episodes reviewing Series 10 of Doctor Who. So if all the stars align soon, fingers crossed, I can start to get that content out for you. I certainly have lots to talk about on the subject. But until then, as I said in the beginning, this time around I'm going to leave you with a little flashback of my Doctor Who-related recommendations from last year, as it's that time of the year again! I hope you guys enjoy that little trip to the past, and again, I'd love to hear from you if you check out any of those stories for the first time because of my recommendation. I'm always happy to chat Doctor Who with you guys. Anyway, have a great one, everybody! With Halloween just around the corner, I wanted to take a quick moment to recommend some Halloween or spooky-oriented Doctor Who stories for anyone interested. I'd seen someone bring it up on one of the fan groups I'm on, so I thought, since I'd already made a list of recommendations for that thread, I might as well share them here as well. Now, obviously, creepy things and scary things are very subjective, but I tried my best to pick stories that I thought fit the brief. So maybe some of you out there can check them out for Halloween. I mean, I might marathon a few of them for the holiday myself. I always love Halloween. Sorry, couldn't help myself with the sound effects. I am such a dork. Anyway, first off, reaching back through the cobwebs and into the classic series, I recommend, in no particular order, The Brain of Morbius, for a Doctor Who-style Frankenstein homage, perfect for Halloween. The Daemons, for its satanic rituals in a creepy little village, which might leave you 5 rounds rapidly running away in fear. Yeah, that was pretty bad. The Mask of Mandragora, for its cultish fun times, and of course, also something perfect for Halloween, a masquerade. Pyramids of Mars, for its, at its heart, a classic Victorian Gothic story, chock full of mummies and the like, and of course, it also has the super awesome Osirian villain, Sutekh.
I am Sutekh the Destroyer. Where I tread, I leave nothing but dust and darkness. I find that good.
Stones of Blood, for its druidic rituals, creepy stone circle, and living stones. Well, for like half the story at least. Still, despite that, I guess it was from being scared to death by the show Children of the Stones as a kid that makes this story especially creepy for me personally. So maybe it'll do the same for you guys too. state of decay for its space vampires. I mean, really, do I need to say more? Space vampires. Yes! Curse of Fenric mostly for its hemivores, which are kind of a cross between zombies and vampires, which is perfect for Halloween, in my opinion. Plus, as many of you know, it's my favorite classic cereal, so I always take the opportunity to recommend it. And finally for the classic series, Image of the Fendahl, for its creepy skull and possessions and pentagrams and paranormal happenings and, hell, even Benedict Cumberbatch's mother. Though she's not scary, she's gorgeous! And yeah, as you can probably tell, I was a big fan of Hammer horror films growing up, as my choices tend to lean a bit more toward that style of horror story. It's why I love Canine and Company so much, to be honest. I'm just really easy for things like creepy English villages and their pagan rituals in my stories. It's just like catnip to me. Anyway, as for the new series, I would recommend Flatline, because honestly, it totally gave me nightmares when I first saw it. I just can't imagine being pulled into a 2D space and killed in the way the Boneless killed people in that story. That was so freaking scary. When I saw the pre-credits bit where the Boneless kind of grabbed the panicked guy on the phone and just put him in the wall screaming, I legit had to pause it and go and grab my teddy bear so I could watch the rest of the episode just clinging to him. And yes, I still have a teddy bear. He's just that awesome. Then you have all the creepy Stephen Moffat stories like Empty Child and Doctor Dances, Blink, Listen, Silence in the Library, Forest of the Dead, and The Time of Angels, Flesh and Stone. I mean, Stephen Moffat sure brings the scares, especially when it comes to everyday things like shadows and statues and things under the bed. Yeah, I'll definitely miss that when he leaves the show. Also, there's Impossible Planet and Satan Pit.
Toby!
I just had so much fun all the time saying that to my ex Toby back when we were watching it together. Though honestly, the mortgage scene is the scariest bit of the story for me. Just kidding!
Not really!
Still, it does have a big old Satan creature in it possessing folks, which is also pretty creepy. And hey, that big old Satan creature is even voiced by the ever-awesome Gabriel Wolfe, who also voiced the aforementioned Sutek from Pyramids of Mars. Then there's Midnight, one of the few stories by RTD I really, really love. People being possessed, the creature that attacks without being seen, everyone turning on the doctor. Yeah, that's pretty damn scary. And then there's Waters of Mars, where you have zombie-like water creatures after everyone, killing people one by one. And hell, even the doctor is scary in that one. Then there's Vampires of Venice, because again, space vampires! Well, sort of at least. I mean, fishy space vampires.
Just go with it!
And hey, the girls at the school even wear Hammer Horror-esque nightgowns, so that wins points for me at least. Then there's Asylum of the Daleks, which is more on the sci-fi end of horror, I guess, but I do really love the super creepy Dalek Asylum planet, especially the section of insane Daleks that have dealt with the Doctor in the past. And of course, the story also has things like the humanoids that have been taken over by Daleks for some requisite body horror. I mean, that's just scary stuff. Then there's Hyde, because, Yes, it is more cheesy gothic horror at times with its haunted house and ghost hunters, but I really love it, damn it. And finally, Mummy on the Orient Express, because apparently Jamie Matheson is really good at scaring the pants off me, and what better Halloween story than one with an ancient mummy killing off people? Fun times! So yeah, I'm sure there's more, but I just went with the ones that first came to mind, and as I said, I just thought it would be fun to recommend them here as well. Hopefully some of you will even check out stories that you've never seen before because of my recommendations. And if so, please tell me if you're one of the people who discovered a new story through this, as turning people on to new Doctor Who stories always makes me super happy.
The Terminus podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and many other favorite podcatchers. Be sure to check us out there and subscribe to keep up with new episodes. Alonzi.
Thank you for listening to the Terminus podcast. You can find us online at terminus.libsyn.com or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/terminusdwpodcast or on Twitter at terminuscast or on Tumblr at terminusdwpodcast.tumblr.com or you can email us at terminusdwpodcast@gmail.com. Also a great big thanks to violinist Maka for use of the Their Violin Doctor Who theme. More song information is in the show notes.
Airlock decompression completed. Jettisoning pod.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.